B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Once again, a lot of talking heads in the media talking about how this is the end of the dynasty, you're going to fall off a cliff and become a bum and all this stuff. So, you know, I'm sure winning's sweet, but is it that little bit sweeter when you're constantly proving people wrong all the time?
I just like winning. I just like winning.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon, and welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for this AFC divisional playoff between the New England Patriots and the 13-4 Los Angeles Chargers. Brady, then Michelle, sprinting in motion, right to left is Allen. It's a compact set, a give to Michelle, runs up the middle, turning forward, into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Go, Patriots!
Michelle behind him on counter handoff. Michelle runs it right to the 10, angling right to the 5, to the pylon!
This crowd going.
It seems to step back in the pocket. Throws a lot. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Have they stopped him yet? Surgical. It's a 15-yard dagger. Take a 21-7 lead. That's the way to start a football game.
Touchdown, Patriots.
It is an utter mismatch right now. Complete domination on one side of the football.
Receivers right. Ready to begin. To Burkin runs it left. Turns upfield. Falls his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
It is an absolute beatdown. What a run by Burkin to the edge.
Brady turns. Gives to Michelle. Runs up the middle. Pushing the pile. Driving his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Wow. Third touchdown of the day.
Stephen Gilmore intercepting in front of Keenan Allen. He's going to be hit by Trey Flowers and sacked by Trey Flowers. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year.
Yep.
They will be in the AFC Championship game.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
Good morning. We have the Toucher and Rich radio program, 617-779-0985. And there it was, just a complete blowout. The first half of that game is like you will not see.
The second half seemed to take so long. God. It was just
I went to Ingerman a couple times.
Right. I mean, after you're up by that much.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to sit there and you want to watch it, but it does test your patience. You're like, all right, the game's been over for like ever. As a matter of fact, when the fourth quarter started, you're like, man, the game's still on?
Yeah, I switched to Anchorman was on one of the TV channels, the movie channels, so I have to admit that
Chargers are challenging things. Phillip Rivers is complaining after every play and
that
yelling
at people.
It
entertaining.
And I'm just like, just shut up and go home. Honest to God, like, this game's over.
Every penalty, every flag, like basically any play where anyone ran out of bounds to stop the clock, you're just like, oh, man, this game has been done since the middle of the second quarter. And just.
Well, you're just hoping that no one gets injured at that point.
Well, absolutely. Right. And I know that, you know, there's a ton of people who were, you know, screaming for Tom Brady to be out of the game. And listen, there's obviously logic to that. As a matter of fact, near the end, you're just sitting there watching, just saying, please don't let this be one of those things where we're going to look back. But, you know, that's just what he does. He stays in these games. However, I just thought it would have been hysterical and true completion to the dismantling of the Chargers if you would have put Hoyer in and they still scored with Hoyer. I mean, that would have been just like as much of a domination as you could possibly have. But, I mean, what a shock and what a relief. And all of the stuff you'd been hearing over the last several weeks about Tom Brady playing with a strained MCL seemed to be confirmed yesterday by the NFL Network. And before the game, they said, well, he seems to be back to normal. It was indeed that play with the Titans where he wasn't he going out for a pass?
And yeah,
he,
yeah, I mean, stumbled and fell down.
Such a dumb play, but and he ended up injuring himself on that. And it seemed you couldn't quite tell during that Jets game whether or not he was feeling better or just that the Jets were that bad defending the Patriots.
See, I thought it was the second one of the two.
Yeah, the Jets, the Jets had no one on defense then, and they weren't trying.
You can't tell anything about the Patriots those last two games.
No. But at least you know that looking back, he was healing and hopefully getting better. And now it seems like, I mean, he can't look any better, really. I mean, yesterday was a great game.
Yeah, nothing happened yesterday that would aggravate anything.
No, he didn't get sacked once. I mean, he stood up almost the entire time, and Joey Bosa even said that he was joking around with Tom Brady, and he's like, stop getting rid of the ball so quick. And Tom Brady, you know, went back to him and said, hey, well, stop rushing at me so quick, and I wouldn't have to release it so early into that.
It was fun.
And it was a little fun back and forth, a little exchange. But it's true. I mean, it was just anything Tom Brady wanted yesterday, he got.
Well, a lot of that had to do with the fact that the push that the Patriots line was getting was insane. I mean, if you're the Chargers, how do you not figure out a way to at least slow down that run game?
I know.
I mean, they were getting such a push off the line. You put anyone back there. You put Tony Dorsett now back there. He's picking up 100 yards. Yeah. I mean, the push they got on that defensive line and how they, I mean, you know, God bless Tom Brady, but if you have that kind of movement and you can run the ball like that, I mean, that opens everything up.
44 dropbacks, 2 quarterback hits, one of which was by a corner on a blitz. So, and Ingram was the only defensive lineman that touched him.
Well, I thought that the whole thing last week that the Chargers used with, like, the 7 defensive backs was going to be, was because it was geared specifically towards Lamar Jackson.
So did I.
They did that a ton. As a matter of fact, it was like 6 or 7 defensive backs. So what the Patriots would go is say, hey, all right, well, then we're going to run it.
Right.
And then Sony Michel just ate them up. And
by the way, that shouldn't have been a shock to the Chargers. The Patriots are much more of a running team this year than they have been in a lot of previous years.
And everyone predicted it. I mean, even Cowher predicted it before the game, and he never gets anything right anymore because he's trapped in 1960. But, yeah, I mean, they lined up, and they said this is power football, and they picked up 8 yards of carry, and they marched down the field. The inability of the Chargers to stop the run is really – because Brady's going to get his. But, I mean, allowing Tom Brady – the ability to play action off of things and get rid of the ball that quickly, all because you've opened up the running game, is insane.
How about to not adjust? That was the other shocker.
No, they didn't. They didn't do anything, the Chargers.
Well, that's the thing. They were saying during the game that the Chargers have their scheme and they depend upon doing it better, executing better than you. They don't have a real plan B. They just have their game plan and rely on just being better. And they weren't better and had nothing to fall back on. And they went back and forth across the country 4 times in less than a week. I mean, I still can't get over that. If the Chargers didn't have it together to stay on the East Coast. I mean, good for the Patriots, but it's ultimate stupidity. Bert Breer sat in here on Friday and said, well, technologically, they couldn't pull it off. If Bill Belichick had the same problem going the other direction, you can be damn sure they would have stayed in L.A.
They had two weeks to plan for it.
And not only that, you know, everyone's saying, well, you know, the technology they have to bring up. What can't you do on a laptop nowadays? Like, honestly, like,
you can't download things? The speeds aren't quick enough in hotels on the East Coast?
You can't watch tape? Of course you can.
Can't fly equipment out? I mean, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand at all what the deal with that is. But, I mean, the Patriots' offensive line looked like the Redskins in the 80s.
And on top of that, you had Rob Gronkowski, who, even though he had 1 catch, was extremely effective on the line yesterday.
Yes.
So that's the one thing. I mean, if you know, whatever you think about Gronk being hobbled, whatever, as a lineman, he still got it. And he did it yesterday. And it's just, there was nothing. I'm just still astounded that the Chargers did nothing to change what they were doing, even coming into the second half. I mean, it was like zone. He just caught, Brady carves you up if you do that. And it just happened over and over and over again. And all of the credit that everyone was given the Chargers and their coach and, you know, for doing what they did with the defensive backs, it all looks stupid now because it looks like it was, well, it worked, and just kept it out there for a completely different quarterback.
When they scored three touchdowns in their first three possessions, you might want to.
Four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns in their first four possessions.
And the and then they didn't score in the fifth. And then they fumbled the punt, and then the Patriots punched it in. Well, so that was five out of their first six possessions.
Well, yeah, when he fumbles the punt, that's when you go, it's Anchorman on.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, when he fumbled the punt, you're like, all right,
game over.
Because if you make a mistake like that against the Patriots, and even a close game, they usually kill you. But when it just comes down to an utter domination, I mean, there's nothing else you can say about it. And it's not like they lack defensive talent on that team. But the push that line was getting, holy moly. I mean, you're running, you're chunk running, and there's nothing they can do to stop it.
I mean, how many times did you hear Joey Bosa's name?
Never.
No, that was it.
When they talked about him being ineffective.
That's right. It's the only time they brought it up. It's true. I mean, no one could have scripted that. And I'll tell you what, it's... makes things interesting for Sunday. I mean, I still think that you go into Kansas City, Kansas City still has the advantage. And
I would agree.
But at least you know that there's some life there, and at least you know that this team has the ability to be able to dominate.
They're a completely different team on the road. And well, I think you're right. Some people are going to get bogged down in yesterday. See, they're back. They always play well at home. They've been horrible on the road the entire season, and they're going into a building where it's really, really tough to play. I mean, I still remember them getting smashed on that Monday night, you know, and then we're on to Cincinnati. That was that game. Kansas City is very good at home. The Patriots are horrible on the road, and I don't know if they can beat this team.
Well, they haven't given us any evidence.
I mean, it's interesting. Right. It's hard to say that after what I just saw yesterday, but home and road are two different things with this team.
And I know Andy Reid is an offensive guru, but Andy Reid, as much as he's struggled in the playoffs and can't manage the clock, is not going to come out and get – you don't think that he would come out with a team that's going to allow four touchdowns on the first four possessions.
No.
I mean, Andy Reid, say what you will, Andy Reid's a very good coach.
All that being said, everyone thought that – the Chargers had a much better defense than Kansas City does.
Well,
no, they do.
Kansas City gives up a lot of yards, but they get to the quarterback a ton. I think they led the NFL in sacks during the regular season.
So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, today you can enjoy the victory, and we'll keep Troy Brown in studio in the 7 o'clock hour, 617-779-0985.
Ledger and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady under center.
Fires down the middle.
He throws a long ball right.
Throws down the left seam for Greg.
Touchdown! Patriots!
Tom Brady plays on one station in Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Five Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, obviously, big game yesterday.
Absolutely. It's been since Tebow came to town that we've seen a postseason beating like this.
Devlin in front of him. A three-point stance. The fullback in the eye. Two receivers right. Brady with a give to Burkett. Runs it left. Turns upfield. Balls his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
I know it's early, but it is an utter mismatch right now. The Chargers have not shown up defensively. The lack of adjustments to me is absolutely amazing. What a run by Burkhead to the edge.
Patriots not dead yet. Electing to take the ball immediately, New England set the tone right away for what would end up being a laugher at Gillette Stadium, with the Patriots scoring on their first four drives, 41-28 over the Chargers. That first drive the Patriots had couldn't have been drawn up any better. 14 plays, 83 yards, and a whopping 7 minutes and 11 seconds off the clock. It was the longest playoff opening drive in the Brady era. And after a quick answer by Phillip Rivers and a wide, 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 wide open Keenan Allen, that was bad, man. I was like, oh, no, here we go. New England scoring couldn't be stopped after that mess up.
Brady turns, gives to Michelle, runs up the middle, pushing the pile, driving his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Wow. This kid has been special through two quarters.
Yep. Patriots said, hey, you're going to have your six or seven DBs. We're going to run it. And as soon as you adapt to our run, we're going to throw it. And Sony Michel was a monster. 24 carries, 129 yards, and a hat trick of touchdowns. And if you love stats, well, here's a stat for you, John. Get ready.
All right.
Sony Michel, the only player in the last 25 postseasons with 100 rush yards and three rush touchdowns in the first half of a game.
Hey, now.
Boom, you have been statted.
Sony Michel, the next Barry Sanders.
He looked good yesterday.
I won't take anything away from him, but.
Even on a day where he scores three touchdowns in a playoff game and runs for
130
yards.
That's right.
He's not Barry Sanders. No. Thank you, Fred.
Well, listen. I'll give a lot of credit to the offensive line there.
Okay.
What, you think I'm wrong?
The offensive line played well. All I'm saying is the kid had a really nice game. That's all I'm saying.
The offensive line had a huge push.
Yeah.
I've been complimenting the team.
I know, but not him.
By taking away from Sony.
Not him.
That's fine.
You have just refused to do that. You said after the first week, he doesn't have it, he'll never have it. And give you credit, you have not backed off at all, regardless of what the results have been.
I think he'll be a average to above average back. I don't think there's any question about it, but I give that all to the offensive line yesterday.
Okay. Well, when it came to the pass, Brady and his best buddy Jules were nearly unstoppable.
Now Gronk in motion to the right. Brady under center with White behind him. A play fake to James White. Stands in, throws down the middle. Edelman wide open, 25-20. Edelman takes on a defender, and he is tackled by Jenkins in the open field at the 14-yard line. Another first down strike.
How's your quarterback look? Got his feet up under him? Edelman's been huge so far.
Yep, 151 receiving yards for Julian Edelman. He finished with 9 catches and moved into second place on the all-time postseason receptions list behind Jerry Rice, of course. But Edelman wasn't the only guy getting touches. Brady sprayed the ball all over the place, completing passes to 7 receivers, including even Philip Dorsett.
Brady takes the snap, back in the pocket, throws a lob. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots! In the left corner of the end zone!
Have they stopped him yet? Surgical! Brady sets the back foot. He doesn't even look. He knows it's open. It's wide open. Josh Gordon down. What Dorsett has been able to do at the end of the season, to be a non-factor all year, to continue to grind, to step in and say, okay, it's my time.
By the way, Brady hasn't thrown an incompletion while targeting Dorsett since week 4
versus Miami.
Yeah. This touchdown was the 18th straight catch of a pass that was aimed his way. Okay, and this is something we could talk to Troy Brown about. Has having Josh Gordon no longer on this team made the offense less convoluted? And it seems to have, I don't know, it just seems like everything since he's been gone has been working smoother. Guys like Dorsett have been, effective. Obviously,
Brady
he's got more playing time.
He was trying to force the ball to Gordon for a couple of games there. And the other thing, it wasn't just Dorsett. There were a lot of receivers running open yesterday. With all those defensive backs on the field, you would have thought, at the very least, they would have been able to cover somebody.
Yeah.
But in that first half, Michelle ran the ball really well. But how many wide-open receivers did Brady have to throw the football to?
They go hand in hand. I mean, once you've established a run like that, it's very difficult to do anything defensively.
Yep, yeah. Keeps them off their toes. I mean, it was an excellent balance between the two. But, I mean, they had their way running and passing the passing game.
Yeah.
And Brady continued to have his way the entire game. 343 yards on the day. It was Brady's 16th career playoff game with 100-plus passer rating, which, according to Manish Mehta, is more than Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Philip Rivers combined. Most of that is because Brady yesterday was barely touched, which, by the way, the time of possession that they had was absolutely ridiculous. The Patriots had almost double that of San Diego. On top of that, the Chargers had 23 offensive snaps in the first half. The Patriots in that time had 24 first downs. Here is Tom Brady after the game with Tracy Wolfson.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. I know everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
Chip on your shoulder.
It is kind of funny because all year long we hear we don't listen to the noise, and now the noise has crept in. And this is kind of the theme now going into it, is that everyone thinks we stink and we're the underdogs. And a couple players said that yesterday. I mean, they truly are the underdogs. And to be honest, it's been tough to figure out whether the Patriots are that good all season long. I mean, you end up looking great against, the Chiefs. And then all of a sudden you crap the bed at the end of the Miami game. And then you look, pretty good against the Bears, who obviously ended up being a playoff team. And then you just see them crap the bed against the other teams that they should have beaten. So it's like you can't blame people for thinking that they aren't the greatest team in the world.
They lost to the Lions.
Yeah. They lost to the Lions.
Lost to a lot of bad teams this year.
Matter of fact, all the teams they lost to didn't make the playoffs.
I know. As I said, they lost to a lot of bad teams this year.
Also, before the game, there was once again a report that Gronk may retire after the season. He was asked about it afterwards at the podium.
I was focused on L.A. the whole game, and it's going to be the same thing this week. I'm all in right now. We got the Kansas City Chiefs now. It's going to be another week of preparation, and I haven't thought about anything like that, so just got to go all in, keep on focusing, keep on doing what we got to do, and I got to keep on doing what I got to do to help this team out to win next week.
So Mike Giardi, our friend of the show, ended up digging a little bit more and asked Gronk, hey, what's the scoop there, buddy?
I know you're focused on this win and the next one. There was a report out there, though, that you're thinking about maybe this is the last year for you. What are your overall thoughts?
I was just playing a game today, and I never even heard anything like that. My whole focus, I'm all in. My whole focus will be on Kansas City now.
Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's retiring.
It sure seems like it.
I mean, it's, and he was a great game yesterday in his blocking
game. In the run
game,
yeah.
In the run game. But it can't be nearly, I mean, especially like when you take a pay cut and he's not getting the ball thrown to him. And
yeah,
not,
no, they didn't game plan away from him in the passing game.
Yeah.
He had one catch. It was an important catch. You know, it got him a first down, but they needed him as a blocker, and that's it. And that's not Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
That's not the guy. He's been the best tight end in the league the last decade. And not to see him reduced to this, but to see his role change like this proves to me that there are just some things he can't do anymore.
And so, you know, less money, you're not getting the ball thrown to you, it's not as fun. Your body's obviously breaking down. If I was a relative of his or an advisor, I would definitely say to retire.
Do you know how much money, off the top of your head, he's made in his career?
I can check it out.
He probably should have made more for what he was. I mean, they got him kind of at a discount for a little bit there. But you got to think that from what everyone says, Rob Gronkowski has not spent a dime of his actual salary that he got from the NFL. And everything that he's bought was purely from endorsements. And if that's the case, I mean, the guy's going to be killing it.
Whatever happened to the party bus?
It does well. It's still, you see the Gronk bus around town every once in a while.
No, but like his personal Gronk bus.
Oh, he has one too. And Goon drives it.
Okay, so we're still aware that Goon in the gang?
Yep,
Goon
is in the gang. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Without bonuses, it's close to $60 million.
All right.
So I think he's comfortable.
I think he's going to be doing okay.
Like, even if he spent a great deal of that money.
It's close to $60 million. You know, there are workout bonuses in there. It could be a little higher, but that's a good ballpark.
Well, one of the great things about yesterday's win was watching Philip Rivers once again just lose his stuff at anything, everything, anyone. Afterwards, Philip was asked whether or not he feels that he, quote, lost his composure at times during the game.
So would it be unfair if I said, hey, you showed a lack of composure out there that might have cost his team?
You can decide whether that's unfair or not. I know that's not the case.
All right, and then
hell did him losing his composure lose the game? The Patriots scored on the first four possessions.
I think that's what made you lose the game.
You can scream all you want. That wasn't going to change anything.
By the way, if I'm him, I'm furious too.
Yeah.
Because how many delay of games? How many times? I mean, he got hit on every single play.
Well, I mean, the delay of games are his fault.
I don't.
He almost got a third one. He got two, and he almost got that third one.
Where the sideline was shuffling personnel in at the last minute. Well, some of that was
the
his
one
fault.
He had to call a timeout in the goal line was because they were trying to shove personnel in.
Some of it was miscommunication. They didn't have anyone on the same page. The thing I had the problem with him screaming at the referee when you're down by four touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
I just think that's
honest
him.
To God. You can be angry about some things. You knew you weren't going to win that game. Screaming at people makes you look like a jackass. Oh, I'm a fiery competitor. Fiery competitors know when it's time to pack up and go home.
Stop talking about Kyrie Irving that way.
Yeah, right.
If I got hit on every play, I mean, he was screaming at the linemen.
I know, it was great. By the way, that's the one thing. Like, scream at the ref, scream at whatever. Don't scream at your lineman.
I'd be screaming at the lineman after the seventh time in a row I got hit.
Crushed.
And there was plays, like, when they would all out blitz, and they showed it
where two linemen weren't blocking anybody.
Right. The two guys are just kind of standing there looking around.
Yeah, it's like Toro.
And so you just look at the guys and you go, I would be yelling too.
Little help?
All right. We'll have more of that. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The whistles interrupt play.
Illegal shift over there. Motion.
Phillip Rivers took the snap after the whistle sounded.
Live game.
Wow.
On the offense. On that penalty. It's third down.
Rivers takes the snap. There's a blitz. Hightower hits him, and Rivers unloads. Incomplete. Hightower drops Rivers in the backfield. Was there a timeout?
Live game.
Oh, my God.
Offense. 5-yard penalty. It's third down.
That is the second already. They'll employ an extra tackle eligible to the left. The play clock has expired.
They call timeout. This is Tannehill-esque.
Opening his mic is Rivers trying to get a timeout.
Los Angeles has called his first charge timeout of the half.
That's awful.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of general admission passes for Boston Calling. Happening this Memorial Day weekend, more than 40 bands and comedians all over three stages, including Greta Van Fleet, Travis Scott, and 21 Pilots. 3-day passes on sale now at bostoncalling.com.
So here we go. Now the Patriots head to Arrowhead Stadium for the AFC Championship, which will be this Sunday at 6:40. And someone who is extremely excited to be going there is Bill Belichick.
I mean, honestly, I don't really care about that right now. I'm worried about this team and what this team has done. This team's worked hard all year to put itself in position to compete for the AFC Championship. You know, obviously against a great team in Kansas City. So that's really what we're focused on. Whatever happened last year or some other year, you know, whatever it is, it's all in the books. This team's got a lot in front of it. That's really what we're going to focus on, is what this game can do.
Yeah, doesn't really care. All right, so we got the game going up.
Yeah. They're not going to go back and look anything from the past.
No. Kind of like the last three AFC championship games they played on the road. They lost them.
Yeah, no.
Broncos 2015, Broncos 2013, and the Colts in 2006. You're going to hear this a lot today, but, I mean, it is interesting when you think about the end of that Miami game.
Yep.
They would have just kept him out of the end zone.
Game would have been here.
You'd have been sitting here at home.
Remember that, the game they lost, the last game they lost in Denver, it was because they punt. Remember the last game of the season?
Miami.
Instead of trying to win here, you know, Belichick chose to run the ball the entire first half to save everybody. And they wound up losing that game, lost home field advantage, went out to Denver and got beat. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the kinds of things that drive Patriots fans nuts. And it should. Patriots go to Kansas City and lose, everyone's going to remember the Miami game. Especially if it's close.
Well, I can't think of anywhere I'd rather not play than Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true.
Terrible environment to go try and play in.
We've been saying that all year. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, not put yourself in a great situation.
If you remember that Kansas City game here, and I remember we came back in here the next day, Mahomes was clearly nervous. That was a primetime game. You know, Mahomes facing Brady for the first time and on national TV. And he looked nervous that first quarter. Missed a lot of throws he normally would make. And I said at the time, and I still say now, that you put him on his home field in a rematch, it's going to be much different. Brady's going to have to score a lot of points to win this game.
Yeah, and it's not like they can, you know, they took away San Diego's running game, and they won't be able to take advantage of it, and they were getting hit all the time. You're not going to be able to do that to Mahomes.
Yeah, you lose Hunt, it doesn't matter. They can still run the football.
Yes.
Up and down the field. And I looked it up. Kansas City did lead the NFL in sacks this season. They gave up a lot of yards, they gave up a lot of points, but they also sacked the quarterback and were in the top 10 in the NFL in interceptions as well.
Well, as of now, Vegas has the Patriots as underdogs by 3 points, with the over-under being set at 57.5. Now, this is the first time since 2014 that the Patriots have been underdogs in the playoffs, and only the second since 2007. Now, one thing that is kind of interesting is both these games are going to rule the AFC and the NFC championship, because if you take a look, when you look at the team's rankings in scoring offense, you got number one, number two, number three, and number four. 1 through 4 as far as scoring offenses, with Kansas City being the first, the Rams being the second, New Orleans being the third, and New England being the fourth. But where it gets interesting is, out of those four teams, which one do you think has the best defensive rank?
The way you're setting it up, probably the Patriots.
By far.
Yeah.
They are seventh in total defense. And a matter of fact, right after that, it would go New Orleans, who was 14th, then the Rams, who are 20th, and then, as we've been saying, Kansas City, not known for their D.
Second to last,
they
right?
are, no, not second to last. They're 24th. But still, you know, it is kind of interesting how you can lead the league in sacks and still be 24th in total defense.
Yeah, well, a lot of passing downs.
Absolutely. Well, that is the game. It's going to be on Sunday, 6:40 p.m.
By the way, 6:40 starts later than the Super Bowl. Just you know. 6:40 in the evening.
I don't mind 6:40.
There's no need for that.
Don't mind.
6:40
is okay. I don't have a problem with that. If it wasn't over at like, you know, even if it's over at like 10, I'm still all right with that.
Yeah, I want it earlier.
I know. I know you did. Everyone wants it to be at 1. 1's the best.
That's what I want.
But you can't
1 o'clock.
You can't have 1 o'clock every 1
o'clock.
Game.
Sure.
Well, the 3
no,
o'clock.
I have to coach. I didn't do it yesterday, but I have to coach basketball at 4 o'clock. Mm. So on Sundays, you got the prime time.
Fair enough.
So.
You got the good slot?
Good for me.
How's the team doing? Okay?
500.
Okay.
And the other game is 3:05. It is kind of funny that the NFC game isn't the later game, but that is going to be at 3:05. Right now, the Saints favored by 3.5. The over-under on that one is 57. So Vegas obviously predicts two extremely high-scoring games and also two close ones as well. Now, Julian Edelman, for one, who was excellent yesterday, was asked about Belichick deciding to receive, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it did. I was surprised. But, you know, he's the old wise owl, so he just kind of listened.
He's becoming very McConaughey-esque.
Yes, to the just the how he talks a little low.
Yeah, he's become the wise owl.
By the way, did you see that new Lincoln commercial?
Oh, yes.
Did
it's the one with
that?
The pool table?
It's weird.
All
it's
right,
even
happens?
Weirder than the last
it.
One.
They're doing it on purpose now, just to make it so over the top.
McConaughey
weird.
Shows up at someone else's house for dinner, and this is a theme. He goes somewhere else. He pulls the Lincoln into the driveway, and his car is the only car there, yet there are like two dozen people in the house. That's one that's weird. And then he's sitting at a table full of people, at least 12. He's sitting at the end. He gets up and leaves everyone at the table, walks into another room alone, and proceeds to play pool by himself.
But he does a super cool pool
and
trick,
then
everyone's like, no one's going to go in the room with McConaughey is. They're like peeking in, like, will he be able to pull off the super cool pool
it's
trick?
It's one where you bend the cue ball around another ball and knock another ball in the corner pocket, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He does that and then kind of strokes his chin like, that was really something. Then he leaves. It's very, very weird.
Well, you hustled him.
I don't know.
You hustled the imaginary man in the corner.
The whole thing is really strange. I don't understand any of it.
It's going to get up and make a little trick shot.
It says Lincoln as he drives away. I'm like, okay, great.
Nothing impresses people more than going and doing a trick shot on the pool table.
No one wants to break his concentration. You know, the beautiful girls are huddled like whispering into it. Watch what he does here.
The Lincoln people did like a bunch of research and said, who is the number one market that we're going for? Pool hustlers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like dudes who just hang out at the arcade.
Oh, nothing gets a girl a little moist than a pool trick shot.
Ooh la la, man. I jump on you.
All right. We have your tickets for Boston Calling coming right up.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line 617-931-0985. The score, a pair of general admission passes for Boston Calling. Happening this Memorial Day weekend, more than 40 bands and comedians over three stages, including Greta Von Fleet, Travis Scott, and 21 Pilots. Three-day passes on sale now at bostoncalling.com.
We had Troy Brown coming in studio in just a couple minutes. And yesterday, you know, all season long, Troy has been doing a post-game live thing on NBC Sports Boston along with Burt Breer, and Rob Ninkovich has been there too, and Michael Holly. And they do it always at that Toby Keith's I Love This Bar at Gillette Stadium. And all year long, I have to be honest, I've been a little disappointed in the activity of the people who stand behind Troy Brown and everyone else. I was thinking it was good.
If you're at that place, I mean, it's a black tie situation.
Right. I mean, what's the Monopoly guy going to do? You think he's going to like scream at the TV?
Enough noise. This is Toby Keith, not some brothel.
Sure. So I was, I tuned in yesterday and finally we had a completely different situation. And I will tweet out this photo in a moment.
The natives are restless. Would you like to describe this gentleman who is standing directly behind Mr. Troy Brown, which probably made him somewhat terrified?
All right, he has pulled his shirt up, and it appears that he has a gigantic Patriots Elvis head tattoo.
Yeah, like all over, like his entire stomach.
Hey,
from
ladies.
From left to right is a flying
Elvis. Oh, wow, look at that.
I mean, hey, it is. All right. And what was great.
I really like the Patriots.
So they had the camera on him, you know, like an up close for 20 seconds or something. Like, oh, look at this guy. And then for the next 30 minutes, the dude just proceeded to stand right in front of the barrier. So he could be on TV just holding his shirt, like, up to his nipples. And at one point, you just see him kind of looking around, just kind of looking for his friends, just still holding up the shirt. Just
and
like,
he realized that he didn't have any... I mean, that is an unfortunate... I mean, that's, like, colored in. I mean, you have to understand, it's across his entire midsection.
It's huge. It's, listen, like, from left side to right. I mean, just the entire thing.
If you want to get a Patriots tattoo, that's fantastic. But I would suggest not using your entire torso as the canvas for getting the flying Elvis.
And if you're Troy Brown, I do want to know, like, at what point does it feel a little uncomfortable that that guy is just staring at you, standing right behind you for that long? It's like the one time I this guy was seemed very nice. There was a band that was coming into town, and he just called and said, hey, listen, you know, can I meet this band? And I'm like, okay, so I'll meet you at the venue. And a guy shows up, and I introduced this. It was a band called Failure. I said, here's the lead singer. And the guy goes, I've been a fan of yours for years. And he takes off his shirt, and his entire back is one of their album covers. Like, his neck to ass. And I immediately went,
that's not right.
Oh, my God, I am so sorry. And, like, the dude from Failure was just like, whoa. Like, he was supposed to be all, like, impressed, this guy thought. Like, now we're going to be best friends?
Yeah, and he's saying, yeah.
Run.
Like, yeah, we're going to be best friends. Can you imagine if you had a friend who goes, hey, come over here. I got your face tattooed on me.
Right. That would be like, yeah, you would, if you and I were out and someone had like a giant Fred Toucher head in their chest, you'd be like, I need to know where this man lives and I need to fill out some paperwork.
Yeah, they need productive custody. There's no question about it.
Keep this man away from me. But it was that way last night. Finally, the crowd was going nuts. And you know who else I think was there? Was the congenial goat. The guy who called in a few times.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's not a surprise.
Worse than Brady, because there was a dude with a goat mask and he was dancing around. Once again, the congenial goat guy gets no credit because he has a mask on the entire time. Nobody actually knows it's him.
Right. And he's expressing, I would imagine, that Brady is the goat.
Yeah.
Or he just has a goat fetish. Either one.
Maybe that is the case. However, I was keeping my eye open for our Worse Than Brady winner. I believe her name was Sarah. I want to thank Sarah for keeping me copied on every single snapback to anyone who tried to rip into her the entire weekend.
I check too. Because my Fred Toucher account, I'll check it once a week just to see if, you know, anyone said something. I don't tweet on it. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. She got back to every single person that didn't like her.
Thank God I was off that chain, man. I was on it early, and for some reason I got dropped.
It wasn't happy. Even people like addressing her. Like, she was searching for her name or searching for the contest, and it was like, oh, yeah, well, I won. You're a skank. And it would be like all these things to like girls and to guys would be like, oh, yeah, well, you suck, and I'm the winner. I mean, it was like one thing after the next. And to be quite honest, it kind of confirmed that this person, that she should have won with every one of those tweets. But just next time, you can remove me from the copy part of, you know, you can reply to those people directly without me getting a copy.
Maybe we should talk to her and see if she made it into the game.
I think a checkup maybe at 8 o'clock might not be the worst.
I like that idea. I like that idea a lot.
She's a piece
of work.
She's a firecracker.
I'm curious. I'm very curious.
Because she has high... Like, if she pre-gamed, there's high potential there that you ain't making it in.
But even if she did, there's no guarantee she made it all the way through the game either.
No. I'm saying it's not just that she doesn't physically make her way in. It's that somebody at security doesn't go, no. Well, no.
What I'm saying is someone in security found her in the first quarter and removed her is my point.
Sure.
By the way, if you stayed for the whole game, God bless you. Because in 20-degree weather, sitting there with that blowout, I would have been
halftime, gone. Halftime.
I would have stayed through the third. I would stay through the third just to make sure.
I would have started talking to my friends. All right, that's enough. Halftime. Can we leave now?
Yeah.
Halftime.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, Fred. I mean, you saw on TV when the fourth quarter started, or not, when the game was over, there was nobody there. Everyone had left.
Yeah.
Wisely.
Yeah. I mean, it's freezing. You got to sit out there. It was a blowout. I mean, I couldn't even watch the second half, chunks of it.
Yeah, that first half was so fun. But that's unfortunate about a blowout is that that second half went so slow. I got pissed every time there was like someone ran out of bounds and stopped the clock. I'm like, just keep it going, man.
Oh, but Romo did something that gave me douche chills yesterday. So Edelman has some big catch and run, and the next play he holds, mm-hmm. and he holds like a guy's arm, and he gets called for it, and then Tony Romo's like, oh, you know, make a catch, and then he's like, come over here, you're not going anywhere.
He does like, do the high-pitched voice.
Oh, I remember that. That was on the Cordero Patterson run. That was on the weird Cordero Patterson run around the end where they fake like three ways. I remember that.
Yeah.
And Romo said to him, oh, I'm a little tired, you know, come back here.
I'm a little tired. All right there, Romo.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least they didn't sell like it was going to be a good game in the second half.
No. It was all a requiem on how too bad it was for the Chargers. You know, maybe they should have stayed on the East Coast. You know, it's tough. It's tough. I think he might have said it's tough when referencing Phillip Rivers at least 30 times in the second half. It's tough for Phillip. I've been there before. You know, you got to figure out a way to finish the game and look what a fiery competitor he is yelling at everybody. And yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, time to go yelling at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yelling at the officials, and a lot of people thought that he had some valid points, but then he was hit on every play. I would be screaming at my offensive lineman as well. When you're not picking, they're doing an all-out blitz, and two of your linemen are just standing there, not blocking anyone, I would be a little pissed. I mean, he just got walloped yesterday.
Yeah, Flowers looked good. He looked really good yesterday.
Yeah. All right, Troy Brown is here from your New England Patriots. We will talk to him. He'll be in for the entire 7 o'clock hour. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.